This is the Frogcast.
Dixon, 2 seconds, launches the shot. He hit it! Dixon hit it! Dixon has hit the shot at the buzzer, and TCU has won it.
I do not believe it. I cannot believe it.
Out of desperation, Jamie Dixon, a 35-foot shot with no time on the clock. And the Southwest Conference Championship may well have won for TCU by Jamie Dixon. Here it is again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Frogcast for this special edition where we come together to celebrate the hiring of Jamie Dixon. Dixon has come home, the new head coach of the TCU Horned Frog men's basketball team. We appreciate you guys logging on and listening to us today. We hope you're tracking us down on iTunes, finding us at killerfrogs.com, as well as thefrogcast.com. This is your home for all podcasting of TCU sports. Well, guys, we had a big announcement today at the Schollmeyer Arena where we introduced our new men's basketball coach, Jamie Dixon, who made his way from Pitt to come join the ranks of all the other great coaches that we have here at TCU. Trey, I just want to throw it to you to get things started here. When the news first broke that this looked like it could happen, what were your thoughts? How did you feel? What did it mean to you to see this thing go from firing our coach to hiring Jamie Dixon?
Yeah, when I first, you know, saw it kind of start floating around on Twitter and that type of stuff, I was like, wow, this is crazy. Because even if you go back to when we were looking, you know, when we hired, before we hired Trent Johnson, then, you know, I think all TCU people kind of wanted Jamie Dixon, but didn't really, you know, we knew it kind of wasn't a reality. You know, we still had the old arena, the team was bad, and he was in a good situation in Pitt, and his team and program was successful. So we all kind of knew that was a long shot. I think it's funny when I look back at it now, I was such a proponent of getting Bruce Pearl when we were searching for a coach last time. I just think that's ridiculous now that I think about it, but I thought it would be great to have him in a bright purple coat on the sideline.
You know, what's NCAA violations amongst them?
Yeah, I do. I know. Like, I don't know. Like, I think he would have been on probation for like the first 2 years or something if we would have even hired him at that time.
He's going to fit in great at Auburn. That's where he's at. He fits in great.
But yeah, so, you know, a couple days ago, you start hearing, you know, the rumors, and there's a little smoke that he could be coming here. And I thought it was, you know, awesome, but, you know, I guess kept hearing about the buyout and whatnot. And it's amazing that the Frogs landed him. I think it's great. You know, I think it's totally re-energized the fan base. I think a lot of people are really excited about basketball next season now. And I'm not saying, like, I'm shocked. It's just because TC's been doing things. They've been improving, you know, ever since I've started following this school. They've consistently been improving. So I guess it's not necessarily shock. It's just, it's kind of like, wow, like, and we're going to get into a little bit more here in a little bit, but like, damn, like, we have some awesome coaches now.
Yeah, we have some great coaches. And I join you in just the shock that I felt when this broke on Twitter to watching the press conference today. It is just an escalation of expectations, but these are things that you're coming to expect now at TCU. And that is really difficult for a lot of us to say, because, you know, we have not put a lot of future and hope and stock in the basketball program. Daniel, you've been to the game. You've been to more games between Trey and I combined this year for the basketball program. How does it feel to go from just the bottom of the Big 12 to today when we see Jamie Dixon hired? What's your initial reaction to seeing him step in to be the head coach for the Frogs?
Yeah, that it's unreal, because how do you go from having like the career that he's had and then step in at a program that's been just awful for however many years, even though it's his alma mater? I just didn't see it happening. And I thought we'd get Underwood, you know, from SFA or something. But and I kept seeing the rumors, and I was just like, this can't, no, this is too big. It's like a step down, but it's really not so much a step down. because everything else fits around it. There's a lot of the stuff outside of the basketball program that just fits just right for him. And it's hard to believe that just, you know, a couple days ago we had no idea, and even just a couple weeks ago we had Trent Johnson. We were just, there was no hope, no one cared. And now, like Trey was saying, not only are the fan base energized for basketball, I think it energizes us all for just all of it. It's just like, it's such a complete package now, and it's something to be that much more proud of. And I just can't wait to see how it keeps going.
Real quick, the other day, I guess yesterday or whatever, it seems like it was a long time ago now that it's all happened, but Andrew Feltz on Twitter tweeted with the new arena and Dixon's contract plus his buyout and all of that. Like, TCU has invested over $100 million into men's basketball in the last year or so. And that is crazy. And that really, I think, showed, you know, him that showed Jamie Dixon that, hey, this is, you know, not just a side sport for us anymore. This basketball is a priority. It's, you know, it's one of the big three main sports. You know, our programs are already solid in football and baseball. The women's basketball team's, you know, good. We need the men's basketball team to be good too. And it's just it's crazy that, yeah, it's just crazy that all of this has happened. And I mean, obviously having the Big 12 money and all of that helps a lot, you know, to be able to pay these people. But it's crazy that there was no expense spared there.
No, when you look at the money that we have put into the men's basketball program, this is a hire that is comparable to the investment, because it doesn't matter if we put all of that money into the arena and all this money that we're getting from the Big 12 if we don't have a coach, because the Big 12 thrives on the great coaches that we have. When you look at Huggins and Self, I mean, it's just a conference that thrives on quality, experienced head coaches. And now Jamie Dixon can stand shoulder to shoulder with everybody in this conference other than Bill Self, who's won a national championship. And so we are on even footing in terms of people that can run our program. One of the other things that I think made some of this possible, that's like a little known accounting thing, we are now about to get a full share of Big 12 money. So we were kind of phased in very slowly with West Virginia. And I know that we had a massive step up from the Mountain West into the Big 12. But, you know, a couple million more infused into the program, that's how you can afford a buyout. That's how you can throw a big contract at Dixon. That's how you can land a coach to compete in what is still the toughest basketball conference in the country. And I'm glad to see that money is spent right.
We were talking a little bit before we started recording just about all of this and how, you know, there's some talk out of Pitt that they were kind of tired of him or whatever was going on there. I don't follow Pitt basketball, so I don't know what fully, you know, was going on up there. But it seemed like there were some people that were kind of tired of him, or, you know, happy that he was kind of moving on so they can start something new or whatever. But, you know, you were saying he's been to the tournament, what, 11 of 12 years or 11 of 13 or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. if he can just do half of that, 6-7 years, five out of 13, like, I will take that, like, any day. Like, just make us competitive. I'm not looking necessarily for NCAA, you know, tournament championship. That would be amazing that would be one of the greatest turnarounds ever if that was to happen. But I'm not looking for championships. I'm just looking for entertainment, competitive teams. Let's make the tournament, maybe win a first round game occasionally. Like, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I'm in absolute agreement. That's all we want, is we just want to be competitive. And if Pitt fans were sick of going to the tournament 11 out of 13 years, or, you know, he only got to the Sweet 16 a handful of times, I mean, dude, you just wait until you get your next coach, because that is not – he made Pitt a great destination. Let's not sit around and pretend like, you know, Pitt is Duke or Kentucky or, you know, one of these blue blood programs. They're not North Carolina. They're not. They're just a middle of the road ACC team, and I think they're going to take a step back, and they're going to experience what I think Georgia football is going to experience. We just got tired of winning 10 games in the SEC with Mark Rick, so let's get rid of him and get somebody new. Well, you're going to be missing that in a couple of years when you're not able to experience the quality that you had And we got him now, so I'm happy as can be. Daniel, anything else that you can think of in terms of investment that you've seen put into the program? You've been as close to the basketball program as any of us over the last decade.
I mean, we pretty much covered it. It's just to see that, you know, final piece, and he really is. He's kind of like the final piece of the puzzle, and now it's going to all turn around, and it's just crazy. It's going to be so much fun. I just watching that press conference, he got me so fired up. If anyone listening has not seen that, go find it on GoFrogs.com. I liked him before. I knew he was really good, and we heard he was getting him. TCU was getting him. I was totally excited. But then when I watched him talking today, holy crap, I love this guy, you know. It's going to be just magic.
My favorite line is where he said, "Everything good in my life began at TCU. Everything good in my life came from coming to TCU." Yeah. And he's going to be able to go out and sell this to recruits and say, this was the choice I made, you know, 30 some years ago, and look at where I'm at now. And I want to give you that same opportunity. He's the one that said it numerous times. If I can sell this program better than anybody, and I still almost can't believe it that he is our head basketball coach. It's ridiculous and it's amazing. Well, Trey, you got to watch some of that press conference and see all of this unfold. You know, you can't talk about the rise of TCU into the Big 12 and onto the national stage. We know we want to talk about Coach Patterson, which we could dedicate weeks of podcasts to. But tell us what you think about our athletic director, Chris Del Conte. What role do you think he has played in not only the hiring of Jamie Dixon, but just getting this athletic program to where it is that we are now one of the most respected programs in the country?
Yeah, if you don't think he's one of the top athletic directors in the country by now, I don't know what he would need to do to prove that to you, because when you just look at, you know, he was instrumental in getting the funds raised for building, you know, the new football stadium. He was instrumental in getting TCU into the Big East and then into the Big 12. He was instrumental in getting a new basketball arena built. He was instrumental in getting Jamie Dixon here. So, I mean, like almost every, you know, one or two of those things, you know, I think any other AD in the country could hang their hats on if they got those types of things done. And he's done all of that stuff, and it's incredible. And, you know, I've talked to the guy briefly, you know, in the parking lot, you know, before games and stuff. So I've not really like spent time around him, but everybody that talks to him just says, you know, he has such a great personality. It's one of those, you know, infectious types that you just want to be around. And I'm sure the guy could sell ice to an Eskimo. And it's just, it's awesome. And you couldn't ask for more. You couldn't ask him to do a better job. He's done everything TCU has needed him to do. And he's knocked them all out of the ballpark. And I would have loved to have been a fly on, you know, the wall, or had a bug on his cell phone over the last couple of days to listen into some of those conversations he's been having to get this done. Because I'm sure it was stressful going, you know, back and forth. Are you interested? Okay, you are interested. You got a buyout. You had to deal with the buyout. And then, you know, just I can't imagine what was all going on. But I can't say enough about the guy. It's crazy. Like I said, when you just think about what all he's gotten done for this school.
Yeah, in the press conference, Chancellor Buscini said that Chris Del Conte called him a week ago and said, I want to hire Jamie Dixon. And the chancellor said, you know, that's kind of a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. And then there we are a week later having the press conference to introduce him. So clearly, you know, our chancellor, who has done an amazing job, by the way, is clearly plugged into the athletic department in the way that a university president and chancellor should be. So he said, you can't do this, and then Del Conte went off and did it. So I think that says everything we need to know about the kind of job that he does. I mean, Daniel, you suffered through a lot of lean years for the Frogs, and in the old empty Amon Carter, you know, coming to the ugly green Daniel Meyer. I remember the baseball field there when it was across from Moncrief that looked like, you know, a Pop Warner, or, you know, a American Legion baseball field. When you think about just 20 years ago, what you experienced with your family lineage at TCU to what you look at now in terms of facilities, how do you even begin to compare that?
It's really hard. dang, I forgot about the old baseball stadium. I didn't see much of that. It's unreal, but you know, I've been able to follow it. I've been such, you know, closely following it. It's been going on. It's been such a long process. It kind of is weird to look back that far because it's been gradual. You know, get, you know, a little bit. We get Coach Patterson. The football team gets better, and then pretty soon the baseball team's doing well, and then the building, the stadium, this and that, and this and that. So it's a gradual movement. It's kind of, I don't know, but to look back and to think about how crappy everything was, you know, and that was the state of the school at the time. That's kind of just how they thought about athletics. It just wasn't that big of a priority, and then that's part of the reason they got left out of the Big 12. Because, I mean, Baylor is part of it too, but they just weren't that committed. And it was, in a lot of ways, that's one of the best things that ever happened to TCU, was because it, you know, it kind of lit a fire in everybody saying, hey, you know, we gotta get back in on this. And it's been a long, long process, but we're back. And man, that place was just, I don't know how you recruited anybody back to those facilities. They were terrible.
Yeah, they were terrible. They were terrible. You think about the growth from just, you know what today would be like below average Gang of Five facilities, you know, of the Conference USA and the MAC, to where we stand now in terms of facilities that we don't shy away from anybody in terms of comparing what we offer. And I think the thing that we can compare to any other program in the country are the three coaches that we have running our football program, our basketball program, and our baseball program. So, Trey, just put you on the spot. Do you know any program off the top of your head? And maybe we're not experts in college baseball, but when you think of Patterson and Dixon and Schlossnagel, does anybody else touch that combo?
You know, I've been trying to think of current trios like that, that are, you know, they're all in place currently at the universities, and then just past trios. And, you know, I guess maybe at Florida, when they had Urban Meyer and is it Billy Donovan was their basketball coach, and I don't know who their baseball coach was. And then I know, like, at Ohio State, you know, Jim Tressel, and they had Dad Mata, their football and kind of basketball teams were pretty good at that point. You know, I'm not real familiar with a lot of college baseball coaches, to be honest, so it's kind of hard there. But, you know, I can't think of a lot of other places that have that kind of combination of coaches, and it's cool. You know, I saw a tweet that said, like, Jamie Dixon was already, like I think today or tomorrow, going to pick, like, Coach Patterson's brain and talk to the other coaches and stuff. And that's a great, I think, asset to have, to be able to go and talk to other great coaches and get their thoughts on, you know, whatever it might be, coaching philosophies, discipline, motivation, however, you know, whatever you kind of info you were looking to learn. It's awesome to have that. And yeah, I can't think of another, you know, set of three coaches that have the skins on the wall like ours do.
Yeah, he can go to those other coaches and talk about, you know, how do you sell TCU to a kid that wants to go to a big state school? I mean, like, he's got all that he needs right there in order to just, you know, join the holy trinity of amazing coaches. So I couldn't think of anybody. LSU has good baseball. LSU has good football.
And then, I mean, you know, Texas, I guess, when they had Mac Brown,
yeah,
Augie, and Rick Barnes, that wasn't bad.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a really, really awesome combination of coaches.
What about Baylor when they had Dave Bliss and Morris and whoever their baseball coach? Do you think that counts?
Yeah, but I'll put them on the list.
Okay, that's what I thought too. Guy Morris, you know, Dave Bliss, and whoever was the immoral one. I can't remember which of the other ones was the immoral one. Well, Daniel, you got to think this is a pretty good combination of coaches for the three of them, don't you?
It's unreal. Like, I think the only other thing out there I could really compare it to maybe would be Florida, because, I mean, within the last few years, because they just not too recently had Urban Meyer. Their baseball team's like number one right now. So maybe a little bit of a lap or gap in there. But other than maybe that, or like was mentioned, LSU and Texas, I don't have a clue who has it that strong of a coach at each position. And then it's not just those. I mean, look at Reagan Peebly, Jill Cramer, you know, all across the board. And I don't know. It's just
the tennis team is ranked, what, number two?
Oh, yeah. Forget Roditi, yeah. It's unreal that to be in that position. I mean, you can have good teams and all that here and there and just overall good program, but it's kind of like what I'm thinking now is it's like what Jamie Dixon was saying today. He knows what TCU used to be. He sees where it is now, and he knows where it can be in the future. And that's some of the most exciting things I've ever heard, is just trying to imagine how much better things could get. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. I think the unheralded piece of this, and I mentioned him earlier, is Chancellor Buscemi. I am so impressed with what he has done leading the university. I know every now and then we forget it, but academics are not unimportant to a big university. But what he has done with raising the academic stature of TCU that is paralleled with a commitment to top-notch Division I athletics, and the most important hire that he has played was hiring Chris Del Conte. I mean, Del Conte has done a great job, but he got picked by the leader of the university. And I think Buscemi has this balance of knowing exactly what his role is to lead the athletic department, as well as completely taking his hands off what is not his call. And that's how leaders thrive. And I'm just impressed as can be with him. He's represented the university well. When you think about our medical school that we're starting, all the way down to the new basketball arena and everything else in between, he has presided over the most prosperous era in the history of this university. And I'm not sure that he gets enough credit, and I don't even think he wants it, but I just wanted to use this moment to thank him because he does a heck of a job, for this university.
Totally agree.
Yeah, I think he's top-notch. Yeah. Yeah, because there's
that's
some
fitting for you, right?
Yeah, that it is fitting for me.
Preach,
it is. Preach it. Yep, that is fitting for me because I think, you know, you look at Texas. I mean, they've got a power struggle every 6 months with their university system and with their presidents and with their board of trustees and regents and, you know, who's really in charge, all that garbage. We don't have any of that. I love that. There's zero drama at TCU in terms of sorting that crap out in the public, and that all begins at the top. So thanks a lot, Chancellor. We appreciate it. If you want to hand out an honorary doctorate to the three of us, we'd appreciate that as well.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I'll take it too. Yeah, I'll be cool with that. All right, I'll make a call. I'll see what I can do. I got an honorary doctorate guy. See what we can do. Well, man, we put this together on a day's notice when we found out we were getting a brand new head coach. I appreciate you guys taking the time to come on. Anything else before we wrap up?
No, just I'm excited. I hope I know, just based on, you know, Twitter reaction and Facebook reaction and all that, I think everybody else is excited as I am. And I hope it shows in the stands next year. I hope, you know, the students and alumni show up to those games and pack the house because it's a nice arena. And, you know, that's going to go a long way. It'd be nice to build a home court advantage. You know, it looks good for recruiting and all that. So I hope, you know, season ticket sales ramp up. I need to even do more myself, get out there more, especially next year. Cause it's going to be fun, you know. I mean, I'm not saying we'll even, you know, have that many more wins next year, but I think it's going to be a lot more entertaining product that we're going to see on the court. So I'm excited, man.
Yeah, a lot of optimism. If you're not excited about getting to the arena next year, if you're not excited about getting season tickets, I don't know what to do for you. Unless we'd have hired, you know, Krzyzewski or Cal Perry, this is a home run. This is a grand slam, and I hope everybody gets out there and supports this basketball team. Well, we will be back with everyone pretty soon here to wrap up spring football. We're setting up some guests and setting up some opportunities for us to talk about spring football. We're excited about that. We'll be wrapping that up soon. Hopefully, we can get you an insider that's been out there to the press conferences with Coach Patterson. Tell us the latest on what's going up as the Frogs wrap up their spring season. Well, for Daniel Southern and for Trey Fallon, I am Jeff Mitchell, and thank you for listening to the Frogcast.